Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, Jenny, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. We can only see half of one, just saying. And what we do when we gather is discuss the issues between rural and no, Juan, you misunderstood. I want to see all of Margie, not half of you. But what we do when we gather is discuss the issues between rural and urban America. Jenny Swigert, it is Thursday. Can you believe that?
It's been a fast week.
It has been a fast week.
I'm going to stop, and we are not going to try and connect rural and urban today. We are going to try to connect all of America, no matter who you are, where you are. We are in a not very great place right now as far as being American. And so who best to help get us all right on the right track and get us built up than these two individuals from the Defining Moments podcast, Margie and Wong.
I know one of them.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
So why don't you start by talking about the podcast, but also the meaning behind all of that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I guess I can start and then I'll let Wong fill in. So we really began the podcast as an opportunity to challenge ourselves with something that we hadn't done before, to step out of our comfort zone a little bit, but also to just take some opportunities to connect to people's stories and not just the surface level stories of, you know, where do you work or what do you do for a living, but really get into the heart of what makes them them. And that's their defining moments in their life. And we chose that focus as a topic for our podcast to really start to connect people to one another through those defining moments. So we interview everybody on the podcast, from neighbors and friends to family and political figures in the state, veterans, police officers, just giving everybody an opportunity to really get to know one another.
Yeah, and to include ranchers, farmers. Our, like Margie talked about, our neighbor across the street, he has a prosthetic leg. His first time he went on tour, his striker got hit by a RPG. And so it's just really, really interesting how the challenge to get out of your comfort zone and to do something you've never done before, how we feel we're connecting and building bridges in our community. And then from the guests, they're able to build another bridge to connect into another community. And that's what we like to do. It's organic, authentic, a lot of fun. And yeah, sometimes it gets challenging. So.
And what does America mean to you?
You take this one.
Well, to me, I mean, America is obviously freedom, courage, grit, welcoming. My parents came over in the mid 70s off of a boat. They spent 33 days on a United States cargo ship. And interestingly enough, back in, I think it was March, I was talking to my parents about the whole COVID. And in Vietnamese, I'll translate it. My dad said, well, we were dodging bullets and people were dying of diseases and starvation on this boat. So this is a thing that's just shocking to my parents. And so they spent 33 days on a boat, and with a bowl of rice apiece a day, and landed in a refugee camp in Guam, in Fort Jaffe, Arkansas. Got sponsored by three couples from Guthrie, Oklahoma. And what I mean by sponsor, they didn't give them money, but they helped them get on their feet, learn to read, write, speak English, become citizens. My parents mowed yards. My dad's first job was at a Denny's restaurant in Denver, Colorado. So it's been a really interesting journey for them. So America to us is freedom, and you can do, literally, you hear this all the time, you can do whatever you want within the guidelines, I mean, within the law of the United States. And when I say take advantage of it, yeah, take advantage of the freedoms that you have, because you can do anything. We don't have to be multimillionaires to be successful. It's just enjoying life and the freedoms that we have.
So Juan, why did they leave Vietnam?
They're from Saigon in the rural area in Saigon, South Vietnam, and it was becoming communist. Communists were taking over from Hanoi, from the north down to the south. My grandfather was in the South Vietnamese Army. My dad was an MP. My parents had just gotten married, so the war was happening, and my grandfather told my parents, "Hey, you guys need to get out of here. The freedoms that you've had since growing up is about to just come to a screeching halt." My dad had a friend that got killed in front of him because he wouldn't give over the deed to his house, shot by the communists. And so they fled. The Americans packed up as many Vietnamese refugees as they could, and helicopter, boat, planes. So they left because of communism.
Hmm. And what do they have to share with that with you today, or would they share with us as they, if they were to join us on the air?
That'd be awesome. My parents would share that you live in the, and I don't want to get too emotional, but you live in the greatest country in the world. And for it to be in this climate that we're in is horrible, because you have every opportunity to make something of yourself. And they would share that, you have the freedoms in the greatest country in the world to do whatever you want.
And that we take it for granted.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah. In the last 2 weeks, my grandfather became very ill. He's made a miraculous comeback. I don't know that I'll be able to see him again, but he is in a rehab facility. But when everything started to kind of unfold and no one really knew what was going on, he was screaming out to what we can only think were war memories from World War II.
Mm.
And that really hit me hard, especially looking at all of the people in our country right now who have taken for granted those who have fought for our freedoms. And I don't want people to forget that. I don't want people to not appreciate that.
Right.
And I feel as a whole right now, and maybe, you know, maybe you step away from social media and it's different, but on social media, we are totally taking it, our freedoms for granted, our opportunities. You know, nobody is appreciating what we have, and it's very frustrating to me.
That is certainly something, you know, when you focus on what you do have, the gratitude for what you do have, just in general, I notice myself happier, healthier, more able to cope with what's going on. And you do see a lot more, I don't have this, or we don't have this, and a lot more focus on what people don't have nowadays versus what we do have, and appreciating what, how far we've come as a country, how great it is to be in this country. And there's a lack of that pride almost, in a sense, that I'm noticing more of as well. And I think I've grown in my pride for the country after spending time with Wong's family and hearing about their experience coming from Vietnam in a war-torn country, losing their flag, because they did have to take down the South Vietnamese flag before they could dock in the Philippines. And their country's flag was no longer recognized. So hearing stories of that, where, you know, you're actually having to take down your flag, is just heart-wrenching. It's eye-opening too, in a way.
Boy, Margie, I think that is huge. We have so many people focus on what they don't have instead of what they do have. and freedoms, and living in a representative republic is what we do have. And we tend to not whine and complain in the right spots, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Juan might whine about the workout of the day, but certainly.
I don't think Juan whines at all. Come on, seriously. We have to take a break. We are already to the first segment of Rural Routes. Jenny Swigert on a Thursday, connecting rural and urban America. Juan and Margie and I both appreciate you being along and remembering that you live in a representative republic. Also, remember that we have Neogen, the opportunity to shine a light on your genetic future. Look at what the genomic future might be in the animals that you're producing, maybe even your pets. You want to know where they're from, what their origins are? Neogen can shine a light on that as well. More details at neogen.com. It's Rural Route. Jenny and I will be back with more after this. Welcome back to Rural Route, Trent Luce, alongside Jenny Swigert. Every Thursday, we are literally connecting rural and urban America. When I went through Oklahoma City at, I don't know what time it was. It was after rush hour, maybe like 9:30. Margie, you weren't out there saying, hi, Trent, welcome.
Yeah, I'm still quarantined. I'm still working from home right now. Wong actually is not working from home. He's in the office.
I am in
Oklahoma City. But yeah, I could have waved from you from my office building had I been there.
Wait a minute. You're sitting there together. One of you can't be quarantined and the other one out working in the public. That's totally messed up. You can't tell me that, Margie.
The logic, you know, we're kind of bending all sorts of logic during this whole time.
What logic?
Yeah. That's why I said bending.
Yeah, bending until the breaking point. Yeah, and it'll do that until November the 3rd, by the way, in case you haven't figured that out.
Yeah, then, you know, miracles happen. And,
yeah. I'm not saying the virus will go away November the 4th, but the ridiculousness in handling the virus might.
Might. We will see.
So, Juan, you also served in our military?
I'm sorry?
You also served in the military?
No, I didn't have that honor, sir.
It sounds like you wish you would have.
Yes.
Why did you not?
I would have.
Why did you not?
Yeah, so, I went to college at an early age, and then I ended up playing collegiate soccer. Broke a leg, so I broke my leg in two places, the tibia and fibula, and I have a metal rod and four screws. So it really inhibited a lot of my movement about 20-something years ago. But I did go work at the District Attorney's Council in Oklahoma City for about 4 years. So I met a lot of FBI, DEA, drug task force agents, went to a lot of drug courts in rural areas. So it was been an amazing experience.
Did you hear what he said, Trent?
I heard he said that he broke a leg playing soccer that disabled him.
I heard that part too, but I heard that he didn't have the honor.
Right.
And if that doesn't speak volumes to everyone else, maybe I'm misunderstanding our conversation, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been actually amazing through the podcast and the opportunity to meet people who have served, whether it be in the military or also on the police forces here in Oklahoma City. We've interviewed a few of our officers with law enforcement. And you know, we're looking for firefighters. So if anybody wants to come on, that's a firefighter. we've been trying to catch a few of those as well, but we've had a couple of police officers in hearing stories, and actually Wong had the opportunity to go on a ride along with one of the officers in Oklahoma City. What was it? Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
And so he had a good time with that. Just to hear more of those stories of people that do serve the country. And I think that's how we're tapping into that, just a little bit even more gratitude for them through those stories.
Well, more power to you. Well, and I had a couple of police officers who said they'd take me on a ride along, and then when they got to know me, it all of a sudden fell apart. I don't know what's up with that. But apparently he's not with us yet today, but I have a friend in Bastrop, Texas, who is a firefighter, career firefighter, and a veteran from not only serving in the United States, but being deployed a couple of times. So maybe Brandon will get a hold of you.
Thanks, Brandon. We appreciate your service.
Brandon Bancroft, to be exact. Tell us more about the podcast. Jenny kind of said you did a podcast, but she didn't tell us the name, the origin, how we find it, or why you really started it.
Defining Moments.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Defining Moments podcast. We are on all social media platforms, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the main ones at least. You can find podcast episodes pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, they're all there. We are also on YouTube as well. So if you're interested in actually seeing the people we're talking to on the interviews, actually, I'm not the one doing the interviews. He's the host. I just edit the podcast. And so if you're interested in seeing the people too, find us on YouTube, Defining Moments Podcast, all the way around.
What do you mean, edit the podcast? What does that mean?
Oh, it's all the sound editing that goes on, everything that goes on behind the scenes.
I don't know anything about editing. Whatever you say is going to be on the air. That's the way it is here, Margie. I'm just telling you. And Brandon has shown up. Look at that. There's Brandon saying, thank you. I appreciate your support.
Oh, great. Yeah. We would be interested in interviewing Brandon about his story as well.
He's kind of a slacker, I'll just tell you straight up.
Call out.
Defining Moments. So it should be easy to find that.
Defining Moments Podcast. Yeah, you'll
Defining
be
able Moments Podcast. Juan, you can tell us. You don't have to tell Margie to tell us. Just, just reminding you. Do you like visiting with people? I'm sorry, Jenny. One more question. Do you like visiting with people, Juan? Asking questions and learning?
I love it. There's no substitute for to be able to sit down across the table from the general to our next door neighbor to the neighbor across the street, just to our guests. Those are our favorite moments that we get. This is this is a great moment for us to be able to share with the world and with each of you respectively, our stories and what we like to do and how we have fun and enjoy our freedoms.
Yeah. Well, it's not the same because you say you sit down with everybody you visit with on the podcast.
Yeah.
Face to face. We try to do it face to face if we can. And what we like to also do is meet them before so we can have a coffee and conversation and get to know them and get the feel and the vibe for their personality and just about their stories.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That's remarkable.
It is. I on the other hand, don't want to know you before we have our conversation because I feel like too much of it is, then will sound rehearsed. I like every bit of it to be new, and I don't want to use the word organic, even though you've already used that. Organic to me, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I keep telling him you need to bring the recording device to your initial conversation with people.
Yeah, because they're better.
Yeah. Usually you get some really neat things out of that first conversation that you have. You almost do the podcast right away. But it's our opportunity to make the guest feel comfortable as well, because most of the people we interview, it's their first interview that they've ever done where they're telling something very personal about themselves, sometimes something that they really haven't shared with very many people.
Right.
So it's that opportunity to get that guest comfortable. And I mean, he makes everybody feel really comfortable when he talks to him anyways, but you know, getting it out the first time and once then helps them come back and say that story again, the understanding that it's going to be recorded. So.
And Trent is very, when we go to a break, which I think we've got one coming up here.
A minute and a half.
My rule, or his rule for me, is I can't talk.
Yeah.
You can talk. You can't talk about the topic. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about how stupid you were last night, whatever it may be. But you can't talk about the topic.
But I do like meeting with people beforehand. And then I can ask those questions that I think are going to spur the golden nugget of information that Trent has not yet heard.
Sure.
So we complement one another in our interviewing styles in that way. But I do, I feel like, you know, maybe someone, if you haven't really gotten to know them, maybe they're not going to know to bring whatever, you know, defining moment up. And so it's good then to have a way to, I guess, encourage them to do that. And we are time for a break.
Well, you have 30 seconds, Jenny.
Oh, but, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I was thinking that, you know, had we done the pregame activity as Juan would do as a good interviewer, he would have learned the defining moment was not the place to start in the first segment, which was his parents getting on that ship and wandering at sea until they could land in the U.S. without their South Vietnamese flag. Just saying. Because that is the defining moment of this conversation. And with that, look, Jenny, it's time that I say, remind you that Lone Creek Cattle Company provides the opportunity to be a part of a branded beef program. And what that means is that you are paid properly for the cattle that you produce. Now, last night I learned that heifers in today's market are bringing $180 less than the steers of the same weight. That's absolutely insane. The ironic part is that Lone Creek Cattle Company will pay you a $180 per head premium and pay you the same for the heifers as the steers. That ultimately means that the $360 per head premium for the heifers alone. It's because we use the Piedmontese cattle and they possess the myostatin gene, which is responsible for tenderness. Get more details about how you can be a part of this system at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Marlon Will is the gentleman you want to talk to. We'll be back with the second half of Rural Routes right after this. Welcome back to Rural Route. Trent Luce alongside Margie, Juan, Jenny. Jenny's lost track of time.
It's
I'm telling you, you go to work at an elevator and things just aren't the same with you. I don't know what's going on.
It's been a fun, but, you know, a very learning, I guess, learning curve for me in the last 6 weeks. So, but that is coming to an end, and I think that we're going to be wrapping up harvest next week. But one question that I wanted to ask, your theme, not only for your podcast, but all over social, is undefeated. Can you go into what that means and how you use that and how we can all use that to try to unite our country?
Yeah, that I love that question. And the whole undefeated theme goes back to when I talked to my parents initially back in March of this year about the whole COVID-19, the pandemic. And it goes back to my dad saying we were dodging bullets and people were dying of diseases and starvation on this cargo ship. And that's fearless, and that's the mindset of not letting things like that affect you. Here's my mindset. I'm going forward. I'm not going to let my surroundings beat me down and control what I can't. So I'm going to control what I can. And I'm appreciative to just have what I have. And I'm going to be undefeated. It's just a mindset. I know that I'm dying every day. And once I finally is like, man, I'm good with that. That's it. That's ultimate freedom, because now the whole entire, whatever happens on social media, whatever people say about Wong, Margie, anyone, politics, they're not going to beat us, because what we're out here doing with the whole undefeated mindset is just, hey, you can control what you can control. You don't have to be a multimillionaire to say these type of things. But they're saying it and then meaning it. And so if you go back and troll our social media, I can guarantee you that there's nothing negative, and we don't reply negatively to anyone. Does that mean that it doesn't bug us? We're humans. Negativity bugs the piss out of me, honestly. But I'm not going to let that defeat my day. I'm not going to let that defeat me. So the whole undefeated mindset goes back to my parents saying we were dodging bullets and people were dying of starvation and diseases on this boat. We can handle this. They didn't say you should too, but I took the hint. I was like, you should too. We all should. So that's the undefeated mindset. We've been rolling with that and we love it. And here's our new logo, our patriotic.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we also have our website now. We have a store linked to our website. We've been selling the undefeated merchandise on t-shirts
and hoodies,
you know, just because people got so into that mindset right now. I don't know if that spoke to a lot of people that were going through the pandemic or going through even just a tough, you know, election year. And so I think that undefeated mindset, it resonated. And so we do have that merchandise available for people that want an undefeated t-shirt or hoodie. It's out there.
And did you clearly define where we can go get that?
Yeah, www.definingmomentspod.com.
And you'll be delivering to Duncan, Oklahoma.
We'll later deliver today. It, yeah. We'll make sure it gets to you.
No, I don't want UPS or FedEx. I want you to deliver personally one later today in Duncan. It's only an hour and 15 minutes down the road from you. Come on, you can do that.
Yeah.
Hoodie? How about if you stop by them on your way home and then they can interview you?
That wouldn't be near as much fun as if they came here.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Because when I get the notion of going home on Saturday, I'm going home.
So, okay. I'm going to jump back into, I guess, more seriousness.
No, I'm serious. I want the hoodie delivered today. I'm serious. I'm really serious.
I'm sure he has some things on his agenda.
No, it doesn't matter.
How do you handle all of this conflict politically? I mean, it's so ironic because we have so many people who are arguing. And yesterday I had a friend who was called up in the National Guard to go to Chicago. She's in the middle of her clinicals and she's going to leave to go to Chicago in preparation for riots up around whatever happens with the election, the outcome of the election. What do you say to people to defuse those types of conversations?
Well, I mean, I can tell you what I do, which is I educate myself. I think you can have rational, calm conversations, but it does require you to educate yourself. And then as soon as you realize that the person isn't interested in having a calm, rational conversation, you have to drop it. You either have to find some common ground on something else, or you just have to realize that nobody is ever won over in an argument or debate by just yelling at one another. Nobody ever brings people to a center line or even over to their side by screaming and yelling. And I think some people have lost sight of that. Like, it doesn't work on you, so why do you think it would work on somebody else? And so I take the time to educate myself, but I also try not to enter into too many political conversations. I tend to be pretty logical minded. And so when I can't have a logic oriented conversation with people about politics, which can get emotional for some people, I know when it's my time to step out of it and just not engage.
Yeah, I agree with Margie. I do a lot of independent, just my own research and critical thinking. And by critical thinking, you can't critically think unless you have your data points. And to get data points, you got to do your own research and come up with rational, logical thoughts. And I'll use an example. Is a coworker a couple months ago we were talking over coffee about, he brought up politics, and he was just wailing on the president. And at the end, towards the end of the conversation, he's like, I just can't stand that orange man, that Agent Orange man. And I like to listen. I like to actively listen to what people are saying. And when he used the phrase Agent Orange, I stopped him. And I was like, hey, do you know that Agent Orange was used in Vietnam and it killed a lot of Americans who fought for freedom, and it killed a lot of innocent men, women, children, and South Vietnamese army that fought for freedom? And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm just educating you. I'm just letting you know. I didn't get heated. I was just like, I'm letting you know, because if you say that to the wrong person, it could end horribly for someone. And I'm just letting you know that emotionally, when you speak, I love being an emotional, passionate. However, be logical and rational with your words and phrases.
I might add, Jenny, sorry, still killing people. Agent Orange is still taking a toll on those who served in Vietnam.
Absolutely.
It is. Yeah. I want to get to Kelly, Trent's wife's comment. But I had another thought. How do we, I feel like there's so many efforts right now to take down statues and take down history. And if we don't have that history to show our kid, like my kids, they're not going to even know what Agent Orange is. That's just one example, and maybe not the best example. So, I mean, how do you feel about what people are doing?
Well, I might add, just to put an amendment on that, it's clear they don't know what Agent Orange is. Juan's already shared that.
But I guess I'm asking all three of you, how do you feel about what is happening as far as destroying history?
Margie first.
Yeah, I think, you know, we tend to look at the at incidents that are happening and maybe project them out that this is a larger group of people or a larger mindset than maybe what it actually is. I might be just an eternal optimist here, but I sincerely believe that there are more people that do have a love for this country on both sides of the political aisle that don't want to see the history removed, that do appreciate America and its freedoms. They just have a little slightly different mentality about the government's role and all of that. And those people are on all one side. We are all on that side. Then there's a smaller group, in my opinion, of people that are bent on just upending that mentality of destroying the history, because in the sense of destroying the history, you break down those bonds that bring the people on the other side of the aisle together that are both Republicans and Democrats. And so if we can remember that there's probably a lot more of us than the people that are hell-bent on tearing down those systems, I think we tend, you know, we'll tend to give credit more to the people that maybe don't always agree with us on every issue.
Juan, I have 30 seconds. I don't think that's adequate time, but did you want to expand upon that?
Yeah, history's there to teach us a lesson. And if we haven't learned, it's almost 2021. If we haven't learned from it, we're failing as a nation. And we talk about, just real quick, about racism, about the victim mentality. People need to talk to my parents or myself. And I've never experienced racism. Live in Oklahoma, and everyone's been so amazingly helpful and sponsoring my family. So, yeah, let's come talk to Wong Lam and his family.
Imagine if you lived in Nebraska instead of Oklahoma. How welcome everybody would be. Guthrie, though, was the first capital of the state of Oklahoma. I might add that little bit of historical perspective. Before I go to a break and we come back with our last segment, Jenny, in case you're keeping track, I want to remind you to watch The Stand at Paxton County. It illustrates the challenges in animal ownership, and you can watch it on your television, your computer, your phone, wherever you have Netflix. The Stand at Paxton County, inspired by a true story that actually did happen, not only in North Dakota, it is happening every day somewhere in the nation. The Stand at Paxton County. We'll be back with the final segment of Rural Route right after this. Welcome back to Rural Route, Trent Luce. What segment is it, Jenny?
This is our fourth and final segment. Fourth and final segment.
Yeah.
It's gone by fast.
On another Thursday. I just want to add, you actually said when you asked your question about can we all just get along, you asked all three of us.
Yeah.
It is impossible, and Juan kind of nailed it, listening. The people who cause the greatest problem, they don't listen. They don't want to listen. They've got something that they want to create, and typically it's chaos and destruction. And so until they become better listeners, we can might as well talk to this cardboard box that Steve Ressler left here when he went to the pig show. They're not listening, Juan. How do you get the point across to people that don't want to listen?
Well, you have to listen and process what they're speaking about and listen to key words or maybe key phrases. For instance, I'll use that Agent Orange again, using those. When you hear that, you educate them. You can't necessarily change their mind, but you can educate them. And then they're going to have to change their own mind and formulate their own thoughts based on the education you just served them up.
I think he makes a good point there. I think you listen and you ask questions and you probe and you get into what their mindset is. And by doing so, forcing them to think through what their reasoning is. There's some reasoning there. You just have to get to the heart of what that reasoning is. You're right. There's probably some of it that's just, I'm just hell bent on destroying something. I just want to destroy this country. I just want to destroy this statue. I just want to destroy the nation. But there are enough people, and this kind of goes back to my comment. I think there's more of us that are willing to have a conversation that have just slight differences of opinion than there are the people that are going out rioting and looting and, and vandalizing.
So Margaret, at the end of the day, really what we're trying to do is wake up the people who've been the silent majority and say, don't be silent anymore.
Yeah. It takes a little courage.
It will. I've got to stop crying every week. 2 weeks ago, we didn't know if my grandfather had, days left. And he passing away, seeing the way people are behaving and disrespecting our country for what he fought for is such a heartbreaking thought. And, think about, we all have veterans in our lives. Every one of us has been touched by a veteran. And if not, get in contact with me. And I can help out through an organization that I'm working with. There's so many who have lost their lives. And if we do not speak up, we are not honoring them. And we need to honor them and remember them and make sure that our children understand how many people have lost their lives for freedom, how many people have depression, like my grandfather, because of war. So I guess I echo Margie and Wong and ask all of you and also push myself, the silent majority. We need to start speaking up. We need to start listening up. We need to start listening and then asking and probing and using those questions to bring those conversations about the positive conversations and defusing some of the negativity and making sure that they understand what people have done and the lengths that they've gone to so that we can sit here, the three of us, and actually talk and
Are you leaving me out?
No, I was looking at, I'm like, dang it, why doesn't he have his patriotic thing on?
Okay, but there's four of us.
What did I say?
You said the three of us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can just go eat breakfast if you like, if that would be better.
No. I mean, there's so many luxuries and things around us. And so my hope for this episode was for you to help bring that, I guess, to the surface. And hopefully we can take that and gain momentum and really get the undefeated theme spread further.
I think undefeated is brilliant. I think that's the perfect assessment to what we need to achieve every single day. And also, Jenny, echoing your sentiments, I think about the World War II veterans, not minimizing anybody who has served since World War II, but we're losing the World War II veterans almost completely. And I think about what they must be thinking in today's world when they experience the worst of the worst to maintain our freedom. And here we have what's happening today. And it's, I just try to find a way to think how we can take that to the next level, Juan, so that people can all understand it.
Yeah, my grandpa was actually a World War II vet, and he passed away a couple years ago. Same thing, you know. Jenny, I think your sentiments touched me about your grandpa, mm-hmm. because I'm kind of grateful that my grandpa isn't seeing what's going on right now. I think, you know, I'm a shameless plug here, but if people want to go listen to some of our episodes that we've done interviewing people from all walks of life, take an opportunity to get to know somebody's story that's either served in the military or served in law enforcement. Listen to the questions that Wong asks our guests. There's regular questions that we ask, and take some of them. I know I have. Mm-hmm. He's come up with all those questions. I didn't come up with them. He came up with them, and they're excellent questions to get maybe out of the political a little bit and into the personal, and to really get to know mm-hmm. people and where they're coming from. And I think that brings us together more than anything else.
I love that.
Juan, would you be my tutor on what questions I should be asking as a host of a podcast, radio show, / whatever you want to call it?
Why don't you ask Trent one of your questions?
So yeah. Trent, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What are two questions you wish people would ask you, but no one ever asked you?
Oh, wow. I've never been asked that. I think that the most common the question that I should be asked more often that I try to ask everybody, and quite frankly, you answered before I had the opportunity to ask, is what drives you to do what you do? Because until you get at the impetus or the passion behind a person, you really can't have a fair and honest discussion. So you have to understand where you're coming from, what your true motives are, and then you can go from there. And so my true motives dating back 20 years in this business now of communicating with people and asking questions is quite simple, is just to explain to people, don't take for granted what you have. Understand the efforts that individuals have gone to make sure, whether that be in the military and the success of freedom, whether that be in food production. And primarily it's really been about food production and making sure that the essentials of life are readily available at an economic cost, food, fiber, pharmaceuticals, and fuel. You know, asking those questions that illustrate all of the things that we've typically taken for granted as U.S. citizens. And really, it's been the theme of what you have brought, both of you, Margie and Juan, have brought to this conversation today.
Yeah, it's a great question, great answer.
But in the interest of marital harmony, Juan, Margie, my wife asked a question that you two have not answered. When are you joining her youth group on Zoom?
Yeah,
we can do it anytime. Just get us the details for the next maybe one or two.
Every Wednesday night, by the way.
Every Wednesday?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're free. We can do that.
We'll make the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I started that thought, and that was kind of where the history thought came into play, because that is a perfect opportunity for Kelly to allow you to talk about making sure we're remembering. So great question, Kelly. Great comment. She is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I picked her, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You picked
her. Well, I mean, I didn't win her in a lottery.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, we have 2 minutes. 2 minute warning. One, what have we not discussed that we need to make sure we get to the forefront today?
Well,
we've
discussed appreciation. That's a good question. We are obviously we talk about freedoms and not taking our liberties for granted. And I remember growing up on the farm in Piedmont, Oklahoma, and my aunt and uncle had a farm out there. And so waking up and feeding the chicken and the chickens, the cows, and taking care of a lot of brush hogging, baling hay, you know, that stuff resonates with me because that's hard work. And so when you think about the hard work, you start to develop efficiencies. And so once you start to develop efficiencies, you basically accomplish a certain mission. And then once you accomplish that mission, it's on to the next mission. So we enjoy the law enforcement, the military. We enjoy the truck drivers. We enjoy the ranchers, the farmers, the cattlemen. And I'm friends with Jeff Parker out here in Hare, Oklahoma. And he's taken me, and I call him my mentor. He probably says, he's like, yeah, whatever. But he's like a mentor to me. And I enjoy my interactions with him every time on Twitter. And every time we get to go hang out, he teaches me how to do things, or these bring back memories when I'm out there on the farm with him, or on the ranch with him. So it's great.
And that's kind of how you've connected with the ag community, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which is awesome.
Will you be bringing Jeff Parker with you to Duncan today?
Well, he's getting ready for an auction, and I'm supposed to go out there tomorrow and Saturday to help him with that.
And then you have to bring him today.
He's probably busy today, too.
And with that, just so fast, Jenny Swaggart, we have successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. The one thing is clear, we have a message: undefeated. Be resilient.
Yeah.
Defining Moments podcast. Check it out. We all four remind you, there's four of us, Jenny Swaggart. All roads do lead to a rural route. See you tomorrow, Red Shirt Friday, thanking the veterans.